ask you this. Let me ask you this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central. Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go, go, go.
This is Sports Central. On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
This is Sports Central. I made it back from the bold north, as they called it.
I was worried about you for a little bit there.
So what is this then? Just the cold north?
It's pretty bad, and we've got more snow to come as well.
Chicago can be the cold north. I guess Minnesota's the bold north. This is Tuesday, February 6, 2018. Back in studio. Well, I should say back. This is the first show I've done in studio.
That's right.
For Sports Central.
Right, because the show launched a week ago? Was it last Monday?
It was last Tuesday.
A week ago today.
So it was a week ago today
we
already.
Should celebrate the 1 week anniversary.
Yeah. Other shows do that.
Right. Like a year. They get really excited.
We should have a big anniversary.
Yeah. For one week. Yeah. Congratulations.
Hey, the way to listen to the show, if you don't listen live, and we hope you are listening live on the WGN Radio app or WGNRadio.com, but if you missed it that way, it's available every day on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search WGN Sports Central. You can consume it quickly on your ride home. Our phone number, 312-235-2525. Hope to take some of your phone calls today because it's Tuesday after the Super Bowl. That's a national holiday. Well, at least a holiday here at WGN because it means my first Bears mock draft is out. Let's get right to our lead.
Third down and four here near midfield. 10-7 Northwestern. They emptied the backfield. Snap to Borkslager. Throws short over the middle. Complete. First down and breaking away. 40-35. And there goes Moore. Moore to the 10, to the 5. And he's into the end zone for the touchdown. A wide receiver screen that goes the distance. 52 yards. And Maryland's back on top.
So why are we playing some random highlight from October between Maryland and Northwestern, and Dave ended on the call of a Maryland touchdown?
I'm going to guess there's a player from Maryland that's involved in your mock draft 2018 1.0.
Thanks for digging that up, Joe Romano.
Ding, 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 ding.
Our great producer. By the way, Kevin Powell here sitting in with us today again. Yes. So, DJ Moore, who you heard in the highlight right here on WGN, is a very fast, shifty, good route running slot receiver that I have in round two of my Bears mock draft. Joe asked me, who do you have in round one? Can I pull a highlight of him? I said, offensive guard Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame. It's going to be hard to find a non-visual highlight of that guy. Right. The visual highlights are awesome.
I was going to say, there's a bunch of viral videos of Quentin Nelson just absolutely destroying people on the football field.
He is... I love this guy. I mean, in terms of my draft crushes that I've had over the years, Quentin Nelson is up there. I don't care that he's a guard. I don't want to hear you telling me, oh, an offensive guard can't go in the top 10. He should go in the top 5. And the only reason why I think he might fall to the Bears at number 8 is because you got a bunch of quarterback needy teams ahead of the Bears. And some of these guys are going to get pushed back. And someone's probably going to take Saquon Barkley before the Bears, too. So
Barkley could go one. I mean, you look at the Browns. The Giants are going to draft a quarterback. Browns have two of the top four.
Right.
Right. So they're going to take probably either Rosen or Darnold, right? I mean, there's a quarterback there.
Or Josh Allen.
I
don't know which one they're going to like.
Or Barkley.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
Broncos need a quarterback.
And the 49ers, I could see them taking Barkley for sure. They have their quarterback, and Barkley would be great to pair with Jimmy Garoppolo. Anyway, Quentin Nelson, this guy is just a mean, huge, physical, yet athletic offensive guard. I think he makes a lot of sense for the Bears. Would allow Cody Whitehair to stick at center, which is where I think he needs to stay. And, you know, ideally you're getting a healthy Kyle Long back, but that's, you know, a lengthy list of surgeries there. That's not a for sure thing. And Josh Sitton, on the wrong side of 30 here, he's going to be 32 next season. And I still think he's playing at a pretty decent level, but he's certainly on the list of possible cap casualties. Not that the Bears are necessarily against the cap, but that could be a guy where if you draft Quentin Nelson in the first round, maybe Josh Sitton gets let go after the draft. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I don't care that he's a guard either. Like, from what I've heard, from what you said about him, from what others have said about him, and from what I've seen with my own eyes, is if whatever the position may be, if he's going to be a potential multiple Pro Bowl player, I don't care what the position is, unless it's a kicker or a punter. I don't care if it's a guard or whatever it may be. You take that player if he's available at that slot. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if he's a guard. I mean, if he's going to be a potential Pro Bowl guy, you can't be like, well, maybe you could have got him later in the first, or you could have got more value at this position or whatnot. It doesn't matter to me that he's an offensive guard at all.
And it shouldn't. I mean, a lot of teams build their lines inside out, and there's nothing wrong with that. And that would really make the Bears' interior offensive line really, really good for both their running game and Mitch Trubisky as well. Now, they got to address, I think, right tackle, but maybe they do that through free agency, and that's what I get a lot with this first mock draft. Look, I get it. It's early February, okay? There hasn't been free agency. I understand that things are going to change. There's going to be trades. The Bears had 7 picks last year. They ended up only using 5 of them. Okay? What was
the response? What kind of response do you get from people when you release your first
mock draft? Well, I get this every year, and it's like people poo-pooing mock drafts,
right,
as if I really think I'm predicting who the Bears are picking in the 7th round. I mean, come on. First of all, anybody who's doing any mock draft with the intention of actually trying to get it right, good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Even the one you're releasing the morning of the draft. Because the GMs don't even know what's going to happen.
Right. It's your best educated guess.
And to me, this whole exercise, and I've always made this clear with my Bears mock drafts, this is simply an exercise of giving readers at WGNRadio.com information on potential draft picks that could be fits for the Bears. I watch the film. I do my homework. I come up with my evaluations, and I share them with you. Hey, this guy could be good for the Bears. Do I know exactly where these guys are going to fall, what round right now? No. It's a good idea in the first round, decent idea in the second round. But after that, a lot of this is based on the combine. I understand it. And the interviews that get done, there's so much homework left for these teams to do. But I could have simply written a list of 7 prospects and said, hey, these are guys that the Bears might like. Or at least that I think that they should look at, because I like them based on my evaluations. And if I had left the round and the number off there, apparently no one would have a problem with that. But as soon as you turn it into a mock draft, people are like, is there anything more annoying than people that criticize mock drafts?
Yeah, I mean, it's people reading a mock draft and not seeing what they want to see. I bet you if somebody read your mock draft and they were all in on Quentin Nelson and they read it, and they're like, wow, this is great. This is a wonderful mock draft because it aligns with what they want. People like get so pissed off when they're like, what does this guy know? Because, you know, some guy reads this, doesn't want Quentin Nelson with the 9th pick. Adam Hogue's an idiot. This mock draft sucks.
But it, okay, it's
relax.
Mock drafts are fun. They're right. Just a fun way to...
Right. It's a conversation starter. And it gives you a good
idea.
To learn
about these guys.
Who's on the radar. So you wrote for DJ Moore, one of the most impressive pro prospects I saw in person this season. High praise from Adam Hogue.
He was. You know, the 13 Northwestern games a year, you see a lot of these prospects, especially in the Big Ten, obviously. DJ Moore, man, he was really, really impressive in that game. 12 catches, over 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. He is a definitely a slot guy, I think. But he's got a little Steve Smith physicality in his game. He's built really solid. I think I don't have the weight in front of me. I think it's 215, though.
Yeah, 5'11", 215 you have listed here.
So I don't know that he necessarily projects as an early second rounder right now. I think he's going to continue to impress, and the Bears don't have a 3rd-round pick.
Right, 2 fourth rounders.
So you don't take him there, you're not going to get him in the 4th, that's for sure. Interesting, just a small nugget, doesn't necessarily mean anything, but Champ Kelly, who is the Bears' assistant director of personnel, player personnel for the Bears, he was at that game in October when Northwestern played Maryland and saw DJ Moore in person put up 12 catches, 200 yards, two touchdowns, and, you know, given the Bears' wide receiver needs, I think he makes a lot of sense.
Well, that's what I want to ask you, because the receiver's position for the Bears, it's probably the worst receiving core in all of football. I mean, it was absolutely atrocious last year. Nobody was getting open. The top two receivers in the draft this year are probably Calvin Ridley and Courtland Sutton. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, probably at the top.
Okay. My question is, are either of them worthy of a top 10 pick? Because I know a lot of people would probably be okay if the Bears did go that route instead of going with Nelson at 9. But I mean, what I'm asking is, like, for all season, I'm like, the Bears have to draft a receiver. They have to draft a receiver. But if they're not worthy of a top 10 pick, I don't know. What do you think with Ridley and Sutton? Are they even worthy of taking that early in the draft?
I like Ridley. I would wish he was just a little bit more dominant to take at number 8. You know, every time I watch him, I like him, but I'm not blown away. Like, I'm blown away by Quentin Nelson. I feel incredibly confident that he can start week one in the NFL and dominate. That's the kind of guy you want when you have a top 10 pick.
Right.
And you don't want to be projecting. There's always a little bit of projection, right? Whether it's Mitch Trubisky or Kevin White, who only ran a couple routes at West Virginia. But I think Quentin Nelson is a surefire, this guy can be a starter, whereas Calvin Ridley, I'm just like, he doesn't blow me away for number 8. If for some reason he fell to the second round, which isn't going to happen, I'd jump all over it.
Mm-hmm.
But and if you look at the structure of this wide receiver class as this starts to come together this year, there's a lot of talent later on. I mean, just looking at some vague, not that I have these guys completely ranked how I want them right now, but just vaguely, both cornerback and wide receiver, and I was going through this process of putting together the first Bears mock draft. I'm in the fourth round where the Bears have two picks, and I'm going, this is shaping up pretty good for them to grab a corner and a wide receiver around here. Decent guys that you're probably talking are third-round picks that have fallen to the fourth just because there's so many of them.
How much does Pace's first three first-round picks, how much does that affect who you want the Bears to pick or who you think the Bears should pick? Because they've taken three guys now that have not made a gigantic impact, a top-10 type impact. You know, did that affect you at all in your decision to go safe with a guard rather than, you know, hit it out of the park with a big wide receiver or corner?
Not really. I mean, to me, it's just that I like Nelson the most right now. And I think that there's a realistic shot he could still be there at number 8 just because of the way this projects to fall.
Mitch Trubisky, Leonard Floyd, Kevin White. Are the last are Ryan Pace's first round picks over the past few years? You got to give Trubisky and Floyd time there. Kevin White's clearly I don't think he's ever going to do much in the NFL. He's just doomed from the start.
Yeah, but this is still going to be a make or break season for Leonard Floyd. I feel like, who has flashed a ton of talent. I think he can be really good, but his body still needs to hold up for a full season.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen that yet. Although this year, hard to criticize the way his season ended is Kyle Fuller took his knee out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Floyd was having a pretty solid year. It wasn't great. Probably want to see more from a first-round pick.
Yeah, but earlier, early before the season started, I said double-digit sacks minimum. Now, he may have gotten there had he not gotten hurt, but I also said outside shot at the Pro Bowl, and I don't think he was on track for that.
And maybe it's just because it was the Packers, but I felt like with a backup offensive line that was a game that he should have dominated, That was disappointing.
You're talking about the game in Green Bay, right? When they were...
Wasn't that at home, or was he out by then? I thought that was...
No, he was still in.
He didn't dominate the way we expected, because I remember just the one day I was at camp down there with you, Adam, and I think we were all like, damn, this guy's gonna put a year together. And he was good, not great. Not what we expected. Your fourth round, you have cornerback Nick Nelson from Wisconsin and receiver Marcel. Is it Aitman?
Yep.
Marcel Aitman from Oklahoma. Oklahoma State every year seems to churn out just some sort of like ginormous receiver who's like 6'5".
Yeah.
And that's what this guy is, 6'4". Well, 16, you have him listed here.
They had two guys at the Senior Bowl, James Washington, who got most of the targets and the numbers. And he'll go early in the draft. He's a little bit faster. But Aitman is, every time I watched Oklahoma State, he was the guy that stood out to me just because he is a huge, massive body who can win the jump balls. And I think if Cam Meredith is healthy, he's a pretty solid number two. We'll see if Kevin White contributes. But the Bears right now don't have a guy that they could just throw it up to when you need to, when things break down and you just want to throw it up to a guy. And worst case scenario is he's able to knock it down. And I like Marcel Aitman in that role. And he's not the fastest guy, so I think he falls a little bit. So it'll be interesting. For the rest of the mock draft, you can find it on WGNRadio.com or on my Twitter feed, at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E.
And that's where you can attack him, too.
And you can test. Yeah.
Tell him how dumb he is for this idiotic, stupid mock draft.
Right. Right.
This early in the year, Adam, and you dare put out a mock draft?
I know.
I enjoy reading
the gall. I've been doing it for 8 years, Tuesday after the Super Bowl.
Is this your eighth year covering the Bears on the Bears beat?
We are starting year number eight.
Look at that. Adam Hall.
How many playoff games have I covered? Now I've covered one.
Yeah, there you go.
It was Sunday at the Super Bowl.
And it was something.
Yeah.
Overall, the two thumbs up for Minneapolis as a host. I know we kind of talked about this yesterday and poked some fun at reporters crying about the cold temperatures.
I'm a little biased because I like Minnesota so much and I have my family up there, but
probably not going to go back there at least for a while.
Logistically, there were some challenges, and it was really cold. There was a nice day Wednesday, and then Thursday it got really cold, and it just stayed that way. So,
and of course, I've got to ask you: did you eat anything good?
I did go out in St. Paul with my family on Wednesday night and had a steak, a decent steak,
solid.
Yeah.
Okay.
But nothing too exciting.
Nothing really stood out to you?
Most of the time, I'm eating like the media food that they had.
Right. Like stale muffins they put out and like rotting fruit on the table. Oh,
what was the one? I tweeted a picture of it. Something Dowell Donuts. Like it was a local donut shop that brought in these fancy decorated donuts for the game. Like half of them were Patriots, half of them were Eagles. But then they had these bacon.
Oh.
Maple bacon
Dynamite.
Donuts.
Dynamite.
They were amazing. Dynamite. That's probably the best food I had the whole week.
So were they feeding Radio Row? Like,
well,
did
they
guys have a media buffet or something going
on? Well, they had food down in the media room, which was down a level. That was for all the media. Jeff Morrow, our buddy here in Chicago, he stopped by and dropped off some great food. That was certainly on the list. Oh, what was it? The Reuben that he gave me?
I'm a big fan of the candied bacon sandwich he serves up at Pork and Minis.
Yeah, well, that's what he brought. One of the
BLT.
One of the things he had was just that pig candy that he calls it.
It's delicious.
It's
so good.
Yeah, I needed it too.
Glam Doll Donuts. These look fantastic.
Joe's getting hungry over there. So how does it work? Because I know you had some outstanding guests. Is it pretty much a free for all? Are you kind of just tracking down people? Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. And just run and grab them and be like, hey, can you do an interview with
me? It's kind of half and half.
Yeah. Like I'm sure some PR people out there like pushing their clients.
Yeah, you get guys that some people reached out a week before. So some of the stuff I had scheduled. Then you have guys that are kind of pushing, you know, stopping by when they see that you're not on the air. They'll ask you. And then there's some like Kenny Mayne, who's just one table over.
Gotcha.
And his people were just standing there. And I was like, hey, can I get him next?
I thoroughly enjoyed the Kenny Mayne interview because I've always loved Kenny Mayne.
Yeah,
like the deadpan that he's like perfected. And growing up, he was the key sports center guy, at least one of the few major contributors to the show. So I grew up watching Kenny Mayne on Sports Center. He always cracked me up because he has this deadpan delivery, like kind of like how would I describe it? Deadpan, a little bit sarcastic, but very funny.
Yeah. He's like a comedian. Yeah. He's just doing sports.
So what is he doing now? Because I see him sometimes on SportsCenter, but then he's tweeting out like some crazy.
Yeah, I kind of asked him about that, but
he's like half foot, 1 foot in, 1 foot out the door.
He was vague. He was like, he's like, yeah, I'm back in Bristol now, but I live in Seattle.
Yeah, that's what I heard him say that. I'm like, what?
I'm like, those
are on the opposite side of the country.
How does that work?
Yeah, so I don't know. Good for him. He's probably got a nice little set up there from ESPN.
I think Kenny Mayne is doing just fine. And for all those interviews, you can still go back and listen to him on the Sports Central podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Coming up next, you know, one of the big things we want to do here on this new Sports Central show is to feature the sports content that we have all over the station during the week as well. Now, with Radio Row last week and just the setup and how many guests we had, we didn't really get a chance to do that in week one. But in the last 24 hours here on WGN, we've had Jordan Howard on the station, Bears running back, and we've also had the head coach of the Blackhawks, Joel Quenneville, who's on frequently with Steve Cochran. We will bring both of those to you in this show, starting with Jordan Howard next. But first, we'll take a quick timeout here on Sports Central on WGNRadio.com.
WGN.
This is where WGN Sports Central lives.
It's alive!
Streaming right now with your host, Adam Hogue.
I really like our rejoins. The Vic Fangio one is the best.
Some great production people in these this radio station. The Duffman put those together, I'm assuming?
He did. He did.
Chris Duffy.
Yeah.
Producer extraordinaire.
Jordan Howard, the running back for the Chicago Bears, he's pretty good. He's had a couple.
I love watching him play, man.
I think he had the most yards after contact in the NFL.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
According to Pro Football
Focus. Bouncing off guys.
If not, he was like number two. But he's up there. Anyway, he was on with Rokan yesterday afternoon on WGN. Bring that conversation to you right now. Starting with the team just trying to gel a little bit better under a new coaching staff.
I feel like we're just going to become closer. I feel like that's one of the big steps we need to make. We'll come closer. And I feel like that'll help a lot of things out. But we learned a lot of lessons from the past season, so definitely going to know how to execute better late in the game, eliminate the silly mistakes that we made. So I feel like I'm going to be a lot closer to the team and just a lot more smarter.
Jordan, have you had a chance to meet with your new head coach, Matt Nagy, and what do you know about him? What do you know about his offense? He'll be calling the plays, so he'll be calling your number. How much you know about his style on the offensive side of things, and what are your overall thoughts on Coach Nagy?
I haven't had much time to talk to him, but the little time I did, he seemed like he was very excited. He seemed like he was very energetic, but I know he's got a great offense. It's going to be wide open. We're going to spread the ball around, put up a lot of points and yards. He's definitely going to run the ball. They had the leading rusher in the NFL in Kansas City with him calling the plays, and they threw the ball a lot. They had 2 1,000-yard receivers, so we're definitely going to have a lot of fun out there on offense.
You saw with the Super Bowl yesterday the aggressive play calling of the Eagles and how successful that was. Do you see something like that with Matt Nagy and the Bears and, you know, moving forward? Is that the kind of thing you'd like to see?
Yeah, I definitely see something like that, especially since they come from Coach Peterson and Coach Nagy come from the same background. So I'm pretty sure we'll be doing some things like that.
Yeah. You have a chance to text Alshon, your former teammate, give him a congratulations or anything like that. He's the one who predicted a Super Bowl, but didn't exactly clarify which team he'd be winning you with. Are you still close with Alshon? And did you have a chance to congratulate him on the victory?
Yeah, I congratulated him on Twitter, and then I was out in Minnesota last week, and I met up with him and hung out with him for a little bit, and he was very excited about it and was saying that he made a prediction, but he didn't say which team.
That's true.
Called it.
That's true. He's a great athlete. I mean, and
incredible.
You know, you have. I'm very happy for him because when he was here, I mean, you could just see, you know, a star was born here. As I see with you, I mean, I think that with the way that you have played for these last two seasons, and it's an interesting thing because you don't get to hear what the announcers are saying about you when you're actually playing. And I've always wondered, do you go back and look at a tape and do you listen to what the announcers are saying about you?
No, because we don't really get the game tapes. We just had the game film, so we don't have the audio and stuff to hear.
Yeah, because you impress these guys every time. Every Sunday, you find a way to get something very nice said about you, especially by the, you know, former NFL guys who are doing the color positions. Those guys always talk about your style, your ability to to, you know, bull through tackles. You're not a first contact guy. You're able to mm-hmm. take a hit and just and keep moving, and also have that breakaway speed and the cutting ability. I just think that, you know, a lot of what you bring, Jordan, to this game, you cannot teach. It's just a natural thing. Did you, and I know a little bit about your story here, but it seems that the work ethic, from the time that you were, playing peewee was always your thing. Just, you know, working to make sure that you were perfect on the field. Am I pretty much right about that?
I mean, you're definitely right about that. When I was in register, just working my craft all the time, and I'm still working my craft because you can't ease up. You can always get better at something, so there's always room for improvement. But, yeah, you definitely got to put hard work into being in the NFL. You can't be lazy and just think, oh, I'm amazing and stuff like that, because you can easily get replaced.
Jordan, what'd you think of Brian Urlacher, first-time ballot Hall of Famer? Everyone here in Chicago pretty darn excited about that.
I felt it was very great, and he was very deserving of that. They were saying that he might not get in because Ray Lewis is going to be in, but I felt like he deserved to be in just as much as Ray Lewis because he was great on defense. He had the Bears playing great defense a few years ago, and everybody knew him, and you definitely had to count for him when you played against him.
Jordan, this city has a proud history of great running backs, Gale Sayers, Walter Payton, Matt Forte. How much does that motivate you, knowing that when you put the Bears uniform on, those guys were playing on the same team as you? And you ever go back and watch film of guys like Payton or Sayers or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely motivation because, the Chicago has always had a great running back tradition, so you're not trying to let that down. You're trying to keep that tradition going. So it definitely motivates you. And you also want to just chase their records, try to be as good as them or if not better. But I haven't got a chance to watch much film of Gale Sayers and Walter Payton.
You should. It's a lot of fun. They're fun to watch.
It is.
Just as a fan of football, you would thoroughly enjoy
Payton, especially. And it is amazing to see our own Jared Payton, who works here.
He's all over the TV this weekend,
right? For the Walter Payton Awards, and then they have a Walter Payton Award recipient,
right?
Who brought
JJ
out
Watt this year?
Who brought out the Super Bowl trophy and all that. It was a very, very cool moment.
It really was.
I just wonder, just go back to what 2018 is going to look like. I think it's a really interesting conundrum for defenses to see two backs. Back in my day, Jordan, when I was growing up, there were always two running backs in the backfield. It's really not so much the play anymore in the modern NFL. But you and Tariq Cohen have such different styles and such different threat matrixes for the defense. I think it's a fascinating thing to put you guys in there because it either one of you touches the ball, they got to focus. They have to assign a linebacker to one of you guys, right? Or two linebackers to one of you guys. I mean, I think it might be a really interesting offensive strategy for the Bears this season. What are your thoughts about a two-back offense?
I mean, I definitely feel like we work well with each other, and especially when we're on the field at the same time. It's hard for defense to account for both of us, so I feel like it opens the game up for each other and offense as well. So, but when we're on the field together, it definitely makes it harder for defense to defend us.
And what do you think? Obviously, Chicago Bears fans are very, very excited about Mitchell Trubisky and what's going to happen there. What are your thoughts on the difference between, because you've just gone through this, the difference between your first year, your rookie year, and being a second-year NFL player? What did you learn how much did you learn between those 2 years?
I learned a lot, especially just playing a lot. That definitely helps you learn because you get that experience. So. He's definitely going to be more prepared. He's going to know how to read defenses a lot better than he did. And just his comfort level with playing the game and against the best players in the world. So he's definitely going to be more mature, more ready, more seasoned. And he's definitely going to show in his play. It's going to be a lot better.
All right, Jordan Howard, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jordan.
Great talking to you.
No problem.
It's interesting because, Jordan Howard – was sometimes tough to talk to.
Yeah,
this season, didn't always have a lot to say when you did talk to him, but also sometimes wouldn't even be there to talk to.
Right.
But he was on Radio Row last week,
Yeah, I think there's
doing more interviews and gave some thoughtful answers.
Yeah, I think there's a concerted effort by him and his people, his PR people, to get the name out there. I mean, look, if you're a good running back in this town, people are going to love you. This is, you know, running backs, linebackers, that's what Chicago Bears football is. So he's coming off two really good years to start his career, so you can tell he's kind of get the name out there, get the face out there, start talking to the media a little bit. Oh, it was good. I thought he was... Fun guy to talk to, so maybe we'll hear more from him down the road.
Yeah, and I found that interesting last week. You have so many of the top athletes in the NFL on Radio Row. I mean, I had Kyle Rudolph on the show, just to give one example, from the Vikings. Of course, he lives there. But apparently Mitch Trubisky was in town doing a couple events, but didn't do any interviews. Pat Mahomes was all over Radio Row, was all over TV, NFL Network, ESPN. Deshaun Watson was around NFL Network, ESPN, Radio Row.
Yeah, I saw Mitch posting some stuff on his Instagram story, and I was like, oh, he's up in Minnesota. I didn't even know that, because I hadn't heard him talk to anybody. But, you know, he's close with some Barstool Sports guys, I know. So, in his Instagram stories, he was with some of them.
Mitch was?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, which ones?
Just Caleb Presley, I think his name is, because okay. He's the big North Carolina guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Mitch knows him from his days at UNC. But,
okay.
I mean, they weren't doing anything crazy. They were just walking and hanging out. So, I don't think he actually did any videos or anything for Barstool, but I know he was hanging with his buddies.
All right. A couple other interviews we want to get to. I actually had a conversation with Brian Urlacher on Saturday after he got in. So we'll bring that to you in a little bit into the Hall of Fame. But first, Joel Quenneville, the head coach of the Blackhawks, was on WGN Radio this morning. Want to bring you that conversation. And with the Blackhawks having struggled so far through the season, they're talking about a playoff push, maybe getting Corey Crawford back. But these games are starting to carry some increased significance, and that's how this conversation with Joel Quenneville began.
We're in a tough spot here, and it's almost like we got to have a must-win mentality almost every single night here,
right.
And we got to win some home games. That's you know, we've put ourselves in a tough stretch for our last home stand here, and you know, the last game with Calgary would have been nice to get to against a team we're battling for and positioning as well, and so that makes even more magnifying the importance of today's game.
Is there anything with seasoned vets that fires you up after losing just a couple of days before to go, now these guys are coming in, we're going to pay them back for Saturday?
Well, I think that both games we had against them were very competitive games. You know, both tough endings, knowing that getting a point and not getting a chance at the other one, at the extra one, that those hurt. And I think that, you know, I think we got to move on, that this is a chance to play well on home ice against a team that we know very well here. And I think there's motivation across the board here. We got to have more consistency in our game across the board. You know, we got a new line tonight that has a potential to do some damage offensively and be productive defensively as well. So it's a you know, I like the line, you know, the four lines that we got going tonight, and you know, we're going to need a nice solid D and strong goaltending again.
What's the new line? What's the mix-up?
We got Hartsy in the middle with Sauter and Sharpie.
Well, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, it's got interesting makeup there. There's a little bit of everything. I think there's a lot of offense there and guys that can make plays and handle the puck.
We'll get Dave Ennett in here, but is there any Corey Crawford news?
Crow skated 3 days in a row, is going on the ice here shortly on his own there with Jimmy, and you know, I think we'll get a better indication when he gets in practicing with the whole team, and I don't think it'll be too far when we get him in that setting.
Good, need him. All right, Dave. Yeah, but what kind of response do you expect from Saad, who's obviously not pleased with the way the season's gone for him?
Well, I think you know, every player has stretches where you're playing well. Some stretches, you know, whether it's the puck's not as friendly as you would like, or you're fighting it a little bit. I still think you got to play the strong team game and make a commitment or a contribution to what's going to be constructive to your line mates or the team game. And, you know, Sauter does a nice job killing penalties, but I think that one of his strengths is what he adds to our team with his speed and his offensive contribution. And, you know, I think that's what we're looking for. And I think that he is playing his best when he has the puck and he's coming down on the wing. He's cutting in and he's around the net and has more of the puck. And I think that's our puck possession game gets enhanced with him having it more. And I think that's an area where a team can be better at as well.
Joel, do you see anything different in the way your players are going about their business facing this must-win scenario that they're not really accustomed to? Do you see anything in their body language or just the way they go about their business day to day?
It's an everyday grind. The season is always like that. When we're sitting in positions where we like where we're at the top of the division or top of the conference, where we got a lot of confidence in our game. You know, we're looking forward to the game. You know, you're what to expect from one another, game in, game out. A little bit of unpredictability in our team game has been probably there all year long, and it's probably us with the puck that's probably been the part that we have to be better at. So I think that hasn't changed much, and I think I just think that that's kind of our focus going into most games. The structure defensively is pretty comparable. Individually, I think everybody wants to win. Everybody wants us to be ahead of where we're at right now.
Sure.
The thing that's important is we got to be better at home, and I think that's look at teams' records. I think everybody would take our road record and think that if we're better at home, we probably wouldn't be anywhere near the spot we're in.
Yeah, it's funny too, because that's what's so weird about this year. It's just as Blackhawk fans are go, well, this isn't the Hawks. We haven't been in this position before. But man, imagine how good you're going to feel if the team gets on a run here, makes the playoffs, and goes on a run there. It can happen, kids. You got to have faith. Am I right, Coach?
Absolutely. You got to believe that we can do it. And then I know that everybody has their run over the course of the season, and there's no better time than today. It can happen. We feel that we got a really busy stretch starting tonight, and we got a lot of games against really good teams and very important games as well. None bigger than the next three we play. So it's that's where it's got to start. And we'll get two at home here to begin it, and let's get something going here.
You know, before I let you go, I run into a lot of nice people, as I know you do as well, and everybody's got a theory on what's going on with the Blackhawks. But the one thing I hear more often than not is, man, we miss Hossa. Miss Hossa, miss Hossa. Is there one thing that Marian Hossa brought that you're really missing this year?
One thing about Hossa, you got an appreciation for him playing the perfect game. Plays the system to a T, both sides of the puck. Has the puck a lot. Protects it, keeps it, puts it in good areas. And I think that's, I think without the puck defensively in his own zone or killing penalties, you get a nice contribution. And offensively, you get that consistency of him being around the net and making plays and having the puck. And so it seems like your control shifts a lot with Hossa. That's what it is. And, those are, there's always guys you miss in the past.
Sure.
The past, and he's definitely a key guy in what he's brought the organization for a number of years. And that consistency and predictability, game in, game out, you know what you get from Hossa, and I think that's been a little bit missing from our team game.
Yeah, it's tough minutes to fill. He was a special player. Super Bowl, did you watch it?
What a game.
Well, crazy, right?
It was a spectacular game.
Yeah. And the Eagles get one. They've never had one before. Who was your first Stanley Cup with?
Colorado.
Do you remember what that felt like?
It was spectacular. It's good as it gets. 1996. Seems like a couple years ago.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, or where I'm going here. For the Eagles and Eagles fans to finally get one, it's really special, but it's super special for those guys playing because...
Oh, it's a great feeling. It's a great great accomplishment. Town goes crazy, and a lot of years where they've had some good teams and they didn't get the job done, and they had some tough years recently, and then especially maybe not on the radar at the beginning of the year and end up winning. That certainly it's great for Eagles fans, and there's a lot of them.
Dave, last word.
Well, it, as you look down the road here, and obviously we've I guess hammered home the point about how important these games are. When you're playing teams that are the teams you're battling for that playoff spot, like Calgary tonight, Minnesota coming up this weekend. I know you're only focused on the Flames right now. Do those games take on any greater importance, or at this point, it's just every game is really the same because you just need points any way you can get them?
Well, we need them any way we can get them, but certainly the meaning of getting the 2 points against a team that's battling for you, it makes it even more important. And that's why Saturday's game was a tough one. You know, that 3-point swing was huge. And but that's now we got to find out how important these 4-point swing can be for us, and take care of what we can take care of. And I think that with Dallas next and Minnesota as well. So it's a there's definitely some important games, but you know, we need wins, and then you can watch the other games as well. But we got to control what the games we have in our own control, and that's like tonight, none bigger.
The Olympics start this week. I don't know how much Olympic hockey you're going to be able to watch. Going to be different this year because the pros aren't on the ice necessarily. But is there anybody that you're aware of from Windsor that's jumping out that we ought to watch on that Canadian team?
Windsor.
Isn't that where you were born, or am I making that up? I thought you were born in Windsor.
Oh, I am. I'm thinking of Windsor guys on the Canadian team. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be fun hockey. It's going to be competitive as heck. These guys got a lot to prove. They're going to be proud as heck to a chance to represent their countries and to win gold. And it's wide open. It'll everybody be watching. Everybody be tuned in. The timing of it might be interesting. But I'm sure it's going to make the unpredictability about it is going to be huge. And I think it's going to be real close. Could be some surprises. It'll be fun to watch.
Tonight at the Madhouse. Thursday night at the Madhouse. And a bunch of home games to come. Hey, fans, let's make this place louder than it's ever been. Because the boys love noise
Which
when they're home.
Tough to do. Because it's been pretty loud.
Yeah. Let's really crank it up. Thank you, Coach.
All right, guys. Thanks.
And the game will be right here on WGN tonight. 7 o'clock pregame with Chris Bowden. 7:30. Well, technically 7:37 puck drop.
Do you go to Blackhawks games in the off season, Adam? You try to get a little hockey in when you're not staring at football?
Not really time when it overlaps with football.
Right.
But yeah, I'll get to a couple coming up here for sure.
Finally back home.
Get Corey Crawford back in the lineup. In terms of news, sure sounds like Corey's coming back pretty soon.
Yeah, he skated again today. He's not really a full participant in practice yet, though. So,
but Q said in that interview right there that not that far away from practicing, and he said yesterday with the media that once he does practice, he shouldn't be too far away from playing.
There you go.
So
they need him back.
It's the Flames tonight against the Blackhawks at the United Center.
Team they just lost to over the weekend.
Yeah, blowing
the team
lead.
That's also in this pretty much in the same boat as the Hawks, fighting for a playoff spot. So expect a good game tonight.
Hey, Saturday night after Brian Urlacher got into the Hall of Fame, I was there at the was a really nice auditorium at the University of Minnesota where they had the NFL honors. Brian Urlacher was in the house. I had a chance to talk to him after things kind of settled down with the press conference and everything. And it was just a few minutes here, but my conversation with Brian Urlacher from Saturday night.
We talked a couple weeks ago. You talked about how you weren't really thinking about it too much.
I wasn't. Earlier,
you said that it kind of set in today. You got a little nervous. Why was that?
I think because I was finally down to decision time. You know, I try not to think about it. I'm not a big stressor. I try not to do things that are going to stress me out. So I didn't think about a whole lot up to this point. Unless people ask me about it, then I'd speak about it. But other than that, I just didn't think about it. I knew it was a process. Dan Pompey gave me some good advice. You know, just let the process work itself out. But today, about 3:30, I was like, okay, something should be happening soon, good or bad. So I got a little bit more on edge, I guess, this afternoon.
The president of Hall of Fame, David Baker, came to your room. You had the do not disturb sign.
So my wife does that every time we travel somewhere. She doesn't like people coming in our room, whether it's she makes the beds herself. She does, you know. So she put the sign up, and David did knock on the door, goes, you sure you don't want to be disturbed? So I said, you can disturb us, no problem.
I talked to Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers downstairs just a little while ago. He said you're the smartest player he ever played against. What do comments from opponents like that mean to you?
He was there's such good competitors and guys I played against. It's really, it's a huge compliment coming from him. We had some good battles. You know, we went back and forth. At the line of scrimmage, most of our battles took place before their ball was even snapped. So to have him say that, it means a lot to me. You know, I enjoy playing against him. Hopefully, as much as he enjoyed playing against me.
I'm sure you haven't really had a chance to talk to former teammates yet, but did they?
Talked to a few.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They text me, right? I mean, I don't know how the hell everyone figured out so fast with this class, because we were told not to tell anybody. But it happened pretty quick. It's just the outpouring of support from those guys. And not just today, but up to this point in the text, the social media crap that everyone puts out, it's been overwhelming with all these guys.
Lovey reach out?
Yeah, I talked to Lovey. Yeah, I mean, this whole process, I've talked to pretty much everybody.
What did Lovey say today?
Congratulations. He texted me. Well, I probably have 700 messages right now because I haven't checked my phone in 10 minutes. So it could be a whole lot right now.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So there was Brian Urlacher Saturday night.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because in that, when he gets the knock and then he's talking, who's the guy from the Hall of Fame? Adam
David Baker.
David Baker. I could have sworn I heard him say, like, no social media posts, nothing like that. Because I think they were trying to save all this for the honors show, but everyone knew who won everything hours before the show.
It leaks out every year.
I know. So.
Yeah. Well, first of all,
the Bears were tweeting stuff out.
The show is taped.
Yeah. So, which about the show is actually pretty good.
The show airs at 8. It tapes from, when did it tape? I think it taped 5 to 7.
Oh, okay.
And then, so, technically, it...
Why don't they just do it live?
I think they edit it down and then make sure it doesn't run long then.
Yeah.
If it does, so there's like an editing process that goes on. I mean, they're not trying to keep secrets. Everything as it happens live while we're there, we're allowed to report on. So like the MVP gets announced before the show airs.
Right.
The Hall of Fame gets announced before the show airs. But even before it was officially announced, it did leak out. I think Brad Biggs was the first to report it. I got word that Brian Urlacher got in. I think Pat Finley had the entire class and reported that. So they're...
It's impossible now to keep...
Yeah, I mean...
Locked.
They want their guys to... not. I mean, they don't want Brian Urlacher to go on Twitter and be like, I got in!
Right.
So it's fine. But cool moment with Brian Urlacher the other night. We'll wrap the show up as we usually do with our buried headlines. And I like this one. Gene Steratore was the referee Sunday night at the Super Bowl. It's his first Super Bowl. He's one of the more well-known referees. And, Ed Hockley might be retiring soon.
I've heard that.
Okay. Well, there's just some chatter about it. I don't know if it's really going to happen or not. But, you know, in the next couple of years, I think.
The whole ref thing's getting in the way of him doing curls and...
Right. Maybe. I don't know. Pipes. He's 65 years old.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. He looks good for 65. Anyway, so Gene Steratore, I think, is quickly becoming like the the face of the referee world for the NFL. He's also all over college basketball. And tonight, he'll be in Rosemont, just 48 hours after the Super Bowl, refereeing Northwestern Michigan, which I thought was pretty cool. But did you think Steratore did a nice job in the Super Bowl Sunday night?
Yeah, because nothing really stuck out to me. If you're not talking about the refs a lot after a game, that's probably a good thing. And I don't think there was much chatter about the referees and the officials as a whole. So
I mean, there was talk about the catch, no catch, but
that's not really him.
That's not really him.
No, I mean, that's the league. That's Goodell. That's,
and by the way, I thought they got those right.
Yeah. I was okay with them. But overall, I thought he did a good job. Two thumbs up for Steratore. This is my point. This is my turn now.
Yeah, your turn to talk.
Okay, Adam. There's a particular high school kid from Clearview High School in Pennsylvania. He's the PA announcer for the for many things, including the men's basketball team, and he does not hold back, and he takes his job very, very seriously.
And that 6'5" forward sophomore, number 25,
takes his job very seriously, as you can tell. So.
It sounds like an SNL skit.
It's the real
that's
deal,
like a
dude.
Will. That's like a Will Ferrell skit, just like, written for him.
It's not even a round of applause. It's like one person clapping. It's awesome.
The video is spectacular. There's like seven people in the stands. There's some cheerleaders on the court. And then it's the starting lineup. So my question to you, Adam Hoge, is who's better, that guy or legendary Bulls PA man Ray Clay?
Ray Clay.
All right. Adam's going.
Gene Honda.
Gene Honda and Ray Clay.
Anybody who's not that guy. What? You know, if he wants to do that for a career, he needs to tone it down. On
oh, I know.
He's going to lose his voice.
I like the passion. Bring it. But bring it, high school.
I don't think he can sustain that for an entire career. Yeah. You know, you gotta,
I want to know if he does that throughout the entire game, you know? When a guy's like checking in, he's announcing, he's giving up, you know, scores and things like that. I appreciate his effort, and maybe he's the next legendary Bulls PA man.
Yeah, you can't turn it up all the way to 11 on the pregame. You know, you got to be amped up, but you can't go all the way to 11. You got to leave something for
11. That was like 27.
You ever seen Spinal Tap? That's 11.
All right, your turn, Adam.
All right. Last night at the airport in Minneapolis, as I was trying to get out, ran into a couple fans. One an Eagles fan, one a Patriots fan, who spent a lot of money on tickets. Okay? I thought one person had spent a lot, and then I talked to the other. This Patriots fan went to the game with her mother, which is cool.
All right.
She lives in Philly, by the way, which is a little bit awkward for her this week.
Mm-hmm.
Between the two of them, the tickets to the game, what they spent on hotels, and their flights to get there. They came Friday, leaving, Monday?
Mm-hmm.
They spent $18,000.
That's flight, hotel,
flight, tickets. Hotel, tickets. And they had good grand. Seats, she said, on 100-level seats.
That was for two total tickets? A pair of tickets?
A pair of airline tickets.
$18,000.
So my question is that worth it? By the way, their team lost the game.
No, it's not worth it. 18 grand to see your team lose the Super Bowl? I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, but it's just tough to say. Like, if somebody is in a certain financial situation where 18 grand is, like, nothing to them, or at least not a lot compared. Like, for me, I'm like, what?
I mean, she said she would do it again. So, okay. They probably have money.
The Super Bowl's on my bucket list. I would prefer to go there as a member of the media because you don't have to drop $10,000.
Right.
You can, you know, send the bill to...
Well, I'll tell you what. I booked my flight like 3 weeks ago and...
How much was your flight?
It was over $500. Yeah. And I fly to Minnesota all the time. It's usually like $120.
Right. Because that's a short flight.
And so... But can you imagine for the fans that didn't find out until 2 weeks ago that they were in the game?
Right.
Like, apparently those flights got just checked up to like a couple grand.
Right.
That's not cool.
I can't remember which airline it was, but I think they added like a red-eye flight for people that wanted to get out of their Super Bowl night. They go straight there. But the cost was like $1,800 a ticket.
It was pretty crazy yesterday at the airport.
I bet. I saw some lines.
There were a lot of Philly fans that were connecting. So they were on my flight to Chicago, and they were connecting there. And that plane didn't wait for them. So they had to stay the night here in Chicago. By the way, an Eagles fan I talked to came to Minnesota by herself with no ticket to the game.
Okay,
from Vegas. She waited it out, got 30-yard line, 100 level for $2,200, which she said a couple friends were two sections over, and they spent over $5,000 on their tickets.
Did she see the anthem?
Did she see the anthem?
Yeah, when did she scoop the $2,200 ticket?
Oh, early in the day. Yeah. She got it early in the day, and it included a ticket to that pregame tailgate that included Darius Rucker and Sting. That was included in the ticket.
Not bad. Better than the 18 grand.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit. By the way, I didn't tell that story to the person who spent 18 grand.
Be kicking themselves. Yeah. You mentioned she's from Vegas. This is a perfect little segue here. Gamblers watching the game helped set a record by wagering a record $158 million on Super Bowl 52 at Nevada Sportsbooks. The books have come out ahead in 26 of the last 28 Super Bowls. However, the margin in 2018 was slimmer than ever. Reportedly, the books only pulled a $1.1 million windfall from the Eagles' 41-33 victory over the Patriots. To put that in perspective, Adam, sportsbooks won a total of nearly $250 million after the Patriots won last year. But getting back to the start of this story, that the record wagering number, $158 million bet on the Super Bowl, is it time that all 50 states in this fine country just allow legal sports gambling, sports books?
I saw a tweet this morning that Major League Baseball and the NBA are all in on it.
Yeah.
They're trying to get it to happen.
What the NBA wants is 1% of every single bet placed on an NBA game. So I'm asking you, Adam Hogue, is it time we just legalize sports gambling in this country?
Sure. I mean, you could do it if you want it on your computer already.
I think what a lot of gamblers would like would be to go to a sports book more than anything.
Right.
More so because everyone, if you
want... Well, it's like with horse racing right now. It's more fun to go to even an OTB to wager on your phone from home.
I'll even compare it to people who want marijuana legalized. Everyone who smokes marijuana or weed is going to continue to smoke marijuana or weed regardless if it's legalized or not. So I ask people that all the time who smoke weed. And I think it's just like the convenience knowing that you can just like not be judged and walk into a storefront and buy it. I think that's kind of how sports gambling is too. You can make a day out of a sports book visit.
Speaking of wagering, Super Bowl odds are out for next year already.
Okay.
Let's see, Joe, you gave me a specific odd shark. These are from Odd Shark, but I think every book has some odds. They're pretty much similar across the board. But I'll tell you this. The Bears at 100-1. The worst odds of any team, tied with the Bills, the Browns,
the Bengals,
and the Jets. I'm not sure the Bears deserve to be at the bottom.
I think of among those five teams, the Bears have, like...
Well, so my question...
That's a much legitimate shot of making the playoffs than any of those teams.
I mean, if you're looking for... I'll give you two teams that I think are good value. Houston at 18.50, that comes out to basically 18.5-1. And the Saints also at 18.5-1. Those are two teams that the Saints got an up-and-coming defense to go with Drew Brees. And the Texans, if Deshaun Watson is really what he looked like he was, I still think, let's see what he looks like when he gets back. But if he is, we already know the Texans have a great defense.
Cowboys 20-1, Raiders 21-1. What do you think is going to happen there with Gruden? You think he's gonna fizzle out, or you think they
made the right move? He hasn't coached a single game yet. How am I supposed to know?
Because you're a Bears insider football expert. So I'm asking you. Do you like the hire by the Raiders?
Sure. I like Derek Carr, so I think he's a good fit with Derek Carr.
Who do you think they're going to draft?
I don't think they're going to win Super Bowl.
Will it be in your mock draft 2.0?
Yeah, I'll have a Raiders mock draft coming out tomorrow on WGNRadio.com.
That was nice, Joe.
Yeah.
Nice little full circle. That's where we started with the mock draft.
Would you put like $20 on the Bears at 101?
Yeah.
Hell no.
101. Yes.
Why not? $20.
They got a good defense.
Because
you draft two wide receivers and sign one and then put him with...
I think the Bears are going to the playoffs.
Trubisky, who's going to be the MVP next year?
Depends on who.
With Matt Nagy, it's Doug Peterson 2.0. It's the Super Bowl. You win 101.
I got a garbage right here. I could just throw a 20 in there.
Ask me that question after your second mock draft comes out.
Book your flight to Atlanta right now. Then you can avoid those price gouging airlines.
It's February 3rd next year.
Right. You get a ticket, I'm sure, for like $70 round trip.
Yeah, Atlanta. I got family in that area. So
there you go.
You can stay with my family next year, Adam. My brother.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even stay with mine this time.
I know.
So I'm not going to stay with yours.
Yeah, just milk it. Get a nice hotel a company can pay for.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right.
This was fun. Thanks for having me. 2 days straight. Are you tired of me yet, Adam? Are you ready to just like get away from Kevin Powell after 2 days of talking to him?
Nah. Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
By the way, all Philadelphia schools and administrative offices closed tomorrow for the parade.
That. All in on that. More schools.
Enjoy it.
They just do that.
Did we close schools for the Cubs?
Nah,
it was a Friday.
I think there might have been a few.
Okay.
I remember for the White Sox parade.
No one went to school. I was down here, and 90% of the crowd were like 12-year-olds.
It was nuts. I remember my mom called me out of school for the 05 parade, the White Sox. I mean, everybody gets called out. Just cancel school.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
Hey, before we leave, Joe, can we play the Zach LaVine dunk? Because I had his pulled, and we have a second here, and it's just worth playing because it's so good. I don't think there was anything else from last night's game that was worth talking about. The Bulls lost to a bad team. They blew a 28-9 lead.
Incredible tank mode matchup last night.
Great, great tank win, loss, whatever you call it. But this dunk from Zach LaVine and the call from Stacey King was awesome.
LaVine, he goes right.
Oh! Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo? My goodness, watch this. Oh, why, Sampson? Why?
And then committed the foul.
I think he didn't remember Zach LaVine was the dunk contest winner. Look at Sampson. Sampson's upset. You know, when you get dunked on, you want to push somebody. Yeah, you were late getting over there, but early for a poster. Where's my poster machine?
I love Stacey King.
Paul, you didn't have the poster machine. It was a road game. All right. We'll get out of here. Kevin Powell in here. Appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
I'm not sick of you. Not yet.
Rokan Show 3-7. That's what I'm headed to do now, if you want to listen at him.
Yeah, I'll be listening on my way home. And you can hear Kevin Powell every day on the Rokan Show 3-7 WGN Radio. You can find this podcast, Sports Central, every day on iTunes and the Google Play Store. If you like it, please rate and review it. If you don't like it, don't rate and review it. Fair? That sound good?
I like that. But I'm thinking only positive reviews.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Throw us a bone here, people.
Tomorrow we'll have a little bit more conversation about the catch, no catch thing. I find it fascinating. And the NFL is going to look into it. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Go find my mock draft. You can make fun of it. You can tweet at me. Whatever you want, at Adam Hoge. The mock draft is on WGNRadio.com right now. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.